Good morning, people. Today's daf is Chafei in Bechoros. We are on Chafei in Bechoros. We learned the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah Chavdal Amid Beis, about Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. He says that what you could do is you could do some prep work on your Bechor before you shecht the carbon. Presumably he's talking about a Balmom. But either way, whether it's a Balmom or whether it's a real Bechor, which is going to be offered on the Beis HaMikdash, but we know that there's an Isser Giza, you're not allowed to shear the animal, the Bechor. And Rav Yosef ben Meshulam says, okay, fine, you know, and you're not allowed to shear it, but what you can do is you can remove hairs from the neck so that when you shech the neck, it'll be a good shechita. I'm thinking, although this is just thoughts, why are we so worried about removing the hair before you shecht it? All right, so number one, maybe it'll make a pagam in the knife. Okay, possibly. Number two, we learned back in Chulin, in the beginning of Chulin, first perek, that one of the five psulei shechita is chalada. You can't hide the knife, meaning the knife has to be exposed. Perhaps, it's a suggestion, maybe you want to remove the wool from the neck so that the knife will always be exposed. It won't be hidden, right? Another possible reason why you'd want to remove the hair. Either way, but you're allowed to remove the hair from the neck, right? Tolish es aser, you can remove the hair. Vavashalei zezenimim kama, but then the Mishnah also gives us another halacha, which is don't put the hair on the side, meaning keep the hair somewhere tucked away in the neck, meaning kind of, Rashi says, tangle it together with the rest of the hair so that people understand and people know you're not shearing, right? It's almost like marasayin. You don't want to give them the impression that you're shearing. And the second halacha in the Mishnah we'll get to a little bit later on this morning about removing hair in order to see a mum, okay? But in the meantime, however, that's the Mishnah. And then the Gemara gives two possible suggestions. First, the Gemara quotes Rav. Rav says the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Who's arguing with Rav Yosef ben Meshulam? It doesn't. We don't have a brisa. Certainly not in the Mishnah, right? No one's arguing with him, but must be that somebody argues with him. That's what Tosha says. I quoted from yesterday's daf. So Rav says the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. They ask the following question: can I do this on Yontif? Okay, Yontif, we have a heter to shecht. You're allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif. And can I do the prep work on Yontif itself to remove the hairs from the neck so I can have a nice clean shechita on Yontif? Okay, so essentially the Gemara says there's two ways to look at this heter of Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. Either Giza and Talisha, which is what we're describing right now, really they're one and the same thing. I'm sorry, let me go in the right order. Let me go in the order of the Gemara, okay? Giza and Talisha are not the same. They're not one and the same. And so the Torah says, by the Bechor, lo sagos, don't shear it. But you're not shearing it. You're tolish. You're simply plucking the hairs from the root, okay? That's one possibility. It's a simple possibility. But if that's the explanation of Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, so then it has no carryover to Yontif. Because on Yontif, both activities are prohibited. Both shearing is prohibited on Yontif and tolesh, right? Okir davar migudula, right? To uproot something from the source of where it grows. Both of those activities are prohibited. So if that's the explanation of Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, so it has no carryover to Yontif. The other possible explanation is that no, Giza and Talish are really one and the same thing. Hair removal. Shearing it, plucking it out, it's hair removal. So why is it okay by a Bechor, especially when the Torah says lo sagos? Davar she'eino miskaven. Because that's not my intent. My intent is not to shear the animal. My intent is just simply to make way so that I can shecht it. Everyone should be thinking davar she'eino miskaven. We'll get to that. I'm sorry, psik reisha. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. If that's the explanation of Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, so it has wonderful carryover to Yontif. Because on Yontif, same story. Meaning, I know on Yontif I'm not allowed to shear an animal, I'm not allowed to pluck out its hairs, but this is Davar She'eino Miskaven, it's not my intent. And so therefore on Yontif it would be okay. And the Gemara brought in two rulings, right? This is where we ended the daf off yesterday. So the Gemara says, go first find out if the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. So he quoted the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. They went now in front of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says, you're allowed to do this on Yontif. you can remove some of the hair from the neck prior to the shechita. You could do some prep work right before the shechita. And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, yes, it is mutter. Good. We move on now. We're on Chafei Amud Aleph. We're continuing from this discussion. And for the first half of today's daf, we will be on this discussion. How are you, in fact, allowed to remove hairs from the neck of the animal on Yontif? The answer, we start with the answer, and then we get to the explanation. The answer is yes. Right? That's the beginning of today's daf. You're allowed to do it. The Gemara quotes in the name of the Rav, you're allowed to do it. Rav Huna says you're allowed to do it. Rav Huna is a student of Rav. No surprise. You're allowed to do it. And now we have a lot of discussion and a lot of explanation. They had barrels of beer, and they had a little hole, and they would block up the hole. Now, usually use a little cork, right, and put the cork right into the barrel. But if necessary, they took a shmata, right, a rag, and you twisted it and you turned it, and you stopped up the barrel using the rag. Here's a problem. The rag is saturated with water. As you're squeezing it, so you're now violating the Issur in the Torah of Shechita. You're now allowed to take something and squeeze it of its contents, of the liquid inside. Could be cleaning also. Rashi brings down Shechita. Rashi assumes that the issue over here is Shechita. Good. So Rav teaches us, you can't do this on Yontif. You can't stop up the barrel on Yontif with a rag, because inevitably you're going to squeeze the rag. So the Gemara says, "Bahi afilu Rabbi Shimon moda." So the Gemara says, "Okay, fine. Rabbi Shimon's moda in that case, meaning that yes, it's true. Rav says it's aser, and the Gemara now is assuming that Rav is following Rabbi Shimon. But even Rabbi Shimon, who says davashin miskamen is mutter, that would be fine. Dabai v'Rav adamita vayu moda Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamos, because that's inevitable. That is a direct consequence of my actions. Meaning it may not be what I'm intending to do. I'm intending to block the barrel, to stop up the barrel. But we all know that when I take the rag and I squeeze the rag and I really apply pressure in order to get into that hole, I'm going to squeeze it out. It's inevitable. This is what's called the psik reisha. Even Rabbi Shimon says that psik reisha is going to be usar. So now the Gemara doesn't fill in the blank. Meaning, and what's the blank? And for some reason, the removal of the hair from the neck of the animal is not a psik reisha. Because now what the Gemara is suggesting is, leave that case out of it, because I know the case of stopping up the beer barrel is not a non-intended act, but it's a psik reisha, but it's inevitable. And here it's not inevitable. How is it not inevitable over here? So I struggled with that. I'll share with you Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi on the Velo Yamus, they came to Mahadik Lalo Efshala, Velo Schita, Aval Lifno Sesa Sear. To remove the hair, says Rashi, Efshar below Talisha, it's possible to do it without Talisha. Right. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what Rashi means by that. I know what Rashi's trying to do. Right. Maybe we're talking about a parting of the hairs. No, right. Correct. And then there'd be no malacha whatsoever. Right. Maybe all you're doing is just moving the hair. And it's possible that some of the hairs will be removed as you're moving it. That's possibly the pshat. I don't know. The Mishnah says tolish as a seyar. So it's difficult to understand, meaning, and we're using the Mishnah as a platform to explain that you could do that on Yontif. So that would seemingly be tolish as a seyar, plucking the hair out. So, okay. I don't fully understand how, I know what Rashi's doing, I just don't understand how it's working. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Now, up until now, we've been assuming, for Rav, it's fine. You're allowed to remove the hair on Yontif from the front of the neck of the animal, because it's a Davar Sheina Miskaven. And somehow, it's not a Psik Reisha. Okay, I don't fully understand, but that's fine. Somehow, it's not a Psik Reisha. The Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Rashi, Amar Rav Halacha Kerav Yehuda. V'Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel Halacha Kerav Yishimon. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Masni below Gavre. Rav Amar Halacha Kerav Yehuda. Ushmo Amar Halacha Kerav Yishimon. The Gemara tells us that there's a basic debate between Rav and Shmuel. Which Tana do we follow? Meaning, let's draw it a very clear map. We have a basic machlokas by Davar Sheni Miskaven. Rabbi Shimon says Davar Sheni Miskaven is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says Davar Sheni Miskaven is aser. Okay? Then we have a subsequent machlokas on Marayim between Rav and Shmuel. Who do we follow? Shmuel says we follow like Rabbi Shimon, which, by the way, that's the accepted halacha. The accepted halacha here follows like Shmuel, the beginning of Shabbos tells us. But right now, we're not talking la halacha, we're talking according to Rav. The whole discussion we're having is according to Rav. And Rav happens to hold like Rav Yehuda. So now we're in a bind. Because we know that by Davar Sheni Miskaven, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, which is Aser. So what difference does it make what your intent is? Even if you're not intending to remove the hair. If you're removing the hair, it's Aser on Shabbos. Yontif. Right, correct. We're not shechting on Shabbos. El alolam safar Rav, Davar Sheni Miskaven is Aser. Vitolish lav hainu goze. So the Gemara is going to go like this. Okay. We're going to have to do what we did in the beginning of today's daf. We're going to have to separate tolish v'gozes. Those are two separate actions. By the bechor, you understand. The Torah says lo sagoz, but I'm not doing shearing. I'm plucking. So as far as the bechor is concerned, there's no problem whatsoever. I'm plucking out the hairs. That's not giza. Now, let's go to yantif. Yantif, both actions are prohibited. Both tolish and gozes are prohibited. Okay? And to make the problem even worse, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, which says Davar Sheni Miskaven is aser. So by what right do we now have to remove any hair from the front of the neck of the animal, according to Rav? It's a good question. The Gemara says, if a yomtav hainu time is a shari da havele oker davar migidulo, kela achar yad. So the Gemara says, you're doing this in an unusual manner. Kela achar yad. Now, usually, kela achar yad will be matir, but it'll only be matir. It only will drop it from being an Issa d'Araisa to an Issa d'Rabbanan. Over here, it makes it totally permissible. Okay. Once again, do I fully understand why it is that we went from d'Araisa to totally mutter? I don't fully understand that as well. Okay, I know I'm raising a number of issues today, which I don't have clarity on, but okay. The Daf Yomi, as I mentioned, we just huh? Simchas Yantiv Ramatir. Okay, I mean we could throw around Svaras. I don't know, but okay. Yeah, that I discussed in the beginning today. I'm not sure. Meaning, why I talked about in the beginning of the Daf? Why are we removing hair altogether before Shechita? So I suggested two possibilities. One is that you just don't want the hair to affect the knife, meaning you want the knife to remain sharp as it goes through, and maybe the hair will create some sort of nick. And the other possibility that I raised this morning is chalada. You know that when you shech, the knife has to be exposed. The knife cannot be hidden. So the wool of the neck of the animal is going to hide the knife, and that'll be one of the five psulei shechita. So it could be an issue of chalada. Okay? So those are two possibilities. Again, I'm not sure, but right now what the Gemara is suggesting is that I'm plucking it, I'm doing it kala achar yad, it's an unusual manner, which drops it from a din d'oraisa to a din d'rabbanan, and perhaps Phil is correct, that the reason over here where it's totally mutter is because of Simchas Yontav. Maybe that could be a mitigating factor that drops it down even to a heter gamur. Okay. We have moved, the whole discussion now is all about Yontav, and all about the removal of hair on Yontav. Meaning by the Bechor, we know it's totally okay. The Mishnah says it's totally okay. We're trying to now bring that to the world of Yontif and whether or not you're allowed to do that in Yontif. Rav says, again, you know the starting point. The starting point is you're allowed to do it. Where we're going with all this today is why? Why are you allowed to do that? So what the Gemara started to introduce is maybe Davar Sheni Miskaven, but this is Rav we're talking about. Rav doesn't hold of Davar Sheni Miskaven. He holds Davar Sheni Miskaven as Aser. So now that takes us to the next svara of the Gemara, which is kala achar yad. You're doing so in an unusual manner. So, okay, the Gemara says, v'tosh lav hainu gozes v'hatanya. So the Gemara says, where do we start the whole discussion by saying that tolish and gozes are not one and the same thing? Gemara says, I'm going to show you a braisa. And the braisa, it's a tosefta on Shabbos, a tolish as a kanaf, v'akomta v'hamartu chayv shosh chatos. You make a quill on Shabbos. So you, by making it, you violate three malachas. First of all, you took the feather and you plucked it out of the bird. That's one. Number two is that you got to clip it. That's two. And number three, removing the feathers off the side. Okay, three malachas. Let's go through this inside. Hatolish is a komto vehamorto. Tolish is to take the feather from the bird. Komate is to give it a little clip, the tip of the feather a clip. And amorate is removing the feathers from the side of the quill. Chayv shalosh chatos. V'am Reish Lakish, tolish chayv mishum gozeis. And here's Reish Lakish's explanation. Tolish, what did you violate? The malach of gozeis. Right? So pulling the feather out is the same as shearing an animal. And kotem chayv mishum echatech. The clipping is a chiyuv because of chituch.
Is it a toga or is it an av?
What, the chituch?
No, the plucking. Is that...
No, it's an av. When the...
Because the thing is, that, you know, the shearing is with the sheep. This is from the bird.
Correct. Well, good. The Gemara is going to... You're anticipating a point the Gemara is going to make, is that we're not talking about animals, we're talking about birds. Right. It may be different. Stay tuned. So, mishum echatech, and mamar yichai mishum emachek. And as far as... the feathers, now you're taking off the feathers from the side of the quill. You're smoothing down the sides of the quill. That's memachek, smoothing. So you have three malachas involved in the making of a quill on Shabbos. But what you see from this Tosefta, and Reish Lakish's explanation of the Tosefta, is that when you pull something out, that's gozeis. So the Gemara says, Shani Kanaf, Tahinu Orche. Gemara says, no, this is birds. By birds, how do you remove its hair? First of all, it's not hair, it's feathers. How do you remove it? You don't shear a bird. That's not normal. That's not normal hair slash feather removal from a bird. You pluck it out. So by the bird, plucking is gozeis because that's hair removal. But when we're talking about an animal, specifically a sheep, you don't pull the wool out from the sheep. You shear the sheep. So that becomes a malach of gozeis and not necessarily tolesh. Now the Gemara does this, and I don't know what motivates the Gemara to make this statement. I'm not really sure, and my question is further pronounced when later on the Gemara is going to retreat, and the Gemara is going to say, you don't have to say this, but for reasons which I'm sure the Gemara has a reason, I just don't have a good explanation. The Gemara assumes, well, if we know that Rav holds like Rav Yosi ben Meshulam, it must be that Rav Yosi ben Meshulam holds like Rav. Okay? Again, I already asked the question, I don't know why. But the Gemara makes this assumption. Rav Yosi ben Meshulam, Davar Shein Miskaven Asur, which now means that Rav holds Davar Shein Miskaven Asur. Oh, so Rav Yosi ben Meshulam has to hold that as well. That Davar Shein Miskaven Asur. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, but we learned in the following brisa. Shtei se'aros, ikaran ma'adim, v'roshan mashchir. Paraduma. You know by paraduma, every hair has got to be red. If one hair is black, that's okay. If two hairs are black, okay, no good. You got to go look for another paraduma. Here, look how close we are to a paraduma. Everything is good. Every hair is red. The tips of two hairs are black. That's it. So now, everyone in the room will think the same thing. In fact, not only will we think it, but the Braisa, the Tosefta, is going to say it as well. Little haircut. Little trim. So just black tips. Okay, so just take out a pair of scissors and just clip. So, Ma'adim v'roshan mashchir Rav Yosef ben Meshulam Omer Gozeis b'misparayim Ve'eino choshesh. Yeah. So what everyone's thinking, Rav Yosef ben Meshulam says, do it. Just take out a pair of scissors and just give a little clip. So what the Gemara is essentially asking is, wait a second. Didn't we put Rav Yosef ben Meshulam in the Rav camp, in the Davar Shein Miskaven as Asur camp? So look, I know your intention is not to shear this animal. Your intention is just to remove the black tips of the hair. But Davar Shein Miskaven is Asur. It's Asur. So the Gemara says...
But the thing is, what are you doing that's prohibited by the cutting hair?
You're shearing. You're shearing kachim.
No, but...
You're shearing kachim. Now...
Shearing because you don't take out roots.
Shani Pyra... Well, shearing means hair removal. Okay.
No. Right.
Let's go over some of the svaras of the Gemara. Shani Pyra Dolav Bas Gizahi. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, maybe a cow, there's no shearing by a cow. right? It's right. It's a haircut. It's not shearing. Shearing is by sheep and wool, or maybe even by a goat, but by a cow. Shearing by a cow. So the Gemara says v'hatay lo savo bivchosham v'hatay. Right. The Gemara says that you're not right about that. Lo savo bivchosharech v'lo sagos mechortzarech ve'ein li ela shor ba'avod v'tzom begiza. Minayin litenes amor shel zeb zev es amor shel zeb zev tamolomer lo savod v'lo sagos. And Rashi tells us everything is on that vav. What that vav does, it creates communication, that pasuk, between both animals and both actions. Meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to work and you're not allowed to shear. Now you're not allowed to work your large animal. You're not allowed to shear your small animal. What the vav tells us is that the iser of working and shearing go on the other animal mentioned as well. So there is an iser of giza by a cow, as odd as that may sound. There is. So the Gemara says, so that's not a good svara. So the Gemara is going to give another svara. Eloshani para dekashe bedek abayisi. So, suggest the Gemara, well, we're talking about a paraduma. You're not allowed to shear a karban. This is not a karban. Paraduma is not a karban. Haraya, what's the proof that it's not a karban? Rashi points this out. Right. It's not shechted in the base of Mikdash. Shechted outside the base of Mikdash. It's not a karban. So it's kache bedek abayis. So there's no iser of giza by kache bedek abayis. The Gemara says, but wait a second. You're not allowed to work or shear kache bedek abayis. So the Gemara says, midrabanan. That's just a din derabanan. So fine. In other words, then over here, we have an extraordinary...
What
is the iser derabanan?
Yeah.
Shearing or working kache bedek abayis. Okay? That's just a din derabanan. So the Gemara says, and that's the answer, meaning it's just a din derabanan. And over here we have an extraordinarily good reason why we want to shear it. We want to shear it so that we can now convert it into a paraduma. Okay. Va'ika isur derabanan shani par delo shchicha. So the Gemara says, but there is an isur derabanan. Yeah, but the clipping of the two black hairs of a red cow so that it becomes a paraduma, how often is that going to happen? The Isurei Durabanan are only made as a only to prevent things that are normal, that are generally happening. Over here, this is unusual. Right, Rashi says, Lo Gazru Beid, if it's an Eno Shchiach, Lo Gazru Behu Rabanan. Okay. The Gemara just is going to make a couple of other suggestions. Vilichala, Velafka Lechulin, Veligza, Vahadar Liktisha. The Gemara makes a suggestion. Why don't we, just to avoid any issues altogether, why don't we redeem your paraduma? You're allowed to do that. Right? Remember, we said even if after you shechta you find another one that's better, right? You could redeem it. So redeem it, then clip off the two black hairs, and then imbue it once again with kedushas of paraduma. So the Gemara says, "Damai Yakarin." Simple answer. The Gemara says. Paraduma is worth a lot of money. See the Gemara in Kedushin, Dama ben Nesina, how much he sold the Paraduma for. It's a lot. It's a ton of money. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know, when you redeem something from Bedek HaBayis, you don't have to redeem it dollar for dollar. The Amr Shmuel Hekte Shave Mana Shechilu Al Shave Pruta Michulal. We know that, according to Shmuel, if I deconsecrate something onto a Shava Pruta, even though it's worth a lot more than that, it's worth a mana.
What are we saying? This has got two black hairs. It's not as valuable.
It's not. It's just not valid?
It's not as valuable.
Oh, it's not as valuable. Okay. Possibly. So the Gemara says, this halach of Shmuel, that's true. That when it comes to deconsecration, it can go and be deconsecrated even if it's not dollar for dollar. That may be true, but that's only a din to b'di'evit. Lich atkila, you should be poda, dollar for dollar. Ibai thema, or the Gemara says, look, all this discussion was presupposing that Rav Yossi ben Meshulam has to hold like Rav. The Gemara says, let's retract from that assumption. Ema, Rav stavalak Rav Yossi ben Meshulam, Rav Yossi ben Meshulam, lo stavalak Rav. All right. So, if we say that, that's simple. And it now obviates all our entire issue. Meaning we were so bothered, how can Rav Yosef ben Meshulam allow the clipping of the hair of the paraduma? And the answer is so simple. It's I'm not shearing, and my intention is not to shear. I don't even want the wool. All I want is for the black to be gone. I need the animal to be totally red. That's it. It's a dav shena miskaven. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Ish Lakish, Shloshanu Ela B'yad. Ava B'kli Aser. Okay. Rav Ashi says in the name of Ish Lakish. Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound right. Did I skip? Oh, Tosha Seser Rav Ashi, he says, Enemim Mekomo. Thank you. Amar Rav Ami. That sounds better. Right? Rav Ashi is Bavel. Rabbi Ami is Eretz Yisrael, quoting Reish Lakish. Okay, so let's say Rabbi Ami, right? In fact, I'd make two changes, by the way. I wouldn't just change Rav, I'd change it to Rabbi. But, okay. Rabbi Ami, Amar Reish Lakish, Lo Shanu Ela Biyad, Ava Bekli Aser. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Reish Lakish that you can only do this with your hand. You cannot do this with a Kli. Meaning the hair removal cannot be done with a kli; it has to be done with your hand. So the haktani osa makom bekupitz mikano mikan. So the Gemara. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says bekupitz. You're using a your cleaver, your shechting knife. So tani likupitz. So we're going to change the Mishnah just a little bit. The Mishnah is now going to read likupitz, meaning I'm removing the hair for the knife, so that when I use a knife, it's going to be a nice, clean area. The chen tolish es aser lir os mum I bailohu lechatchil odiavid. Okay. The removal of the hair in order to shecht, that's for sure din lechatchila. Right? Rashi says this. There's no question about it. Meaning, I want to shecht my bechor. I want an unobstructed view of the air, of the makam hashchita. And so therefore, I remove the hair. That's easy. And that's not a post facto bidyevit scenario. L'chatchila, you want to remove the hair. Good. Now, the Mishnah brought in a second halacha. Second halacha is that this bechor may possibly have a blemish. I don't have a good view of it. I can't see it right now. So what I want to do is I want to remove the hair. So the Mishnah says, go ahead. Remove the hair so that you can get a good view of the blemish to see if it's a real blemish, to see if this bechor now is a bechor baal mum. So that the Kohen now can eat it without having it to bring it to the base of Mikdash. Good. Is that a din lechatchila? Or is that just bidyevin? Shechting, I understand, is a lechatchila. You want to shecht the animal. But do you really want to see the blemish? I mean, the answer is yes, you do. But is it a mitzvah to go ahead and to look for the blemish and find the blemish? Because as a non-blemished animal, it's a karbon. Once it's a blemished animal, it's psule hamukdashin. It was a karbon. And, of course, you're going to eat it, and you're going to eat it outside the base of Mikdash, but it drops down a level in Kedusha. So am I looking, do I want to look for that mom? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Tashmat, Semra Mesubach Ba'ozen, Rabbi Yosef Ben Meshulam Omer, Tosho Umare Es Mumo. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says, do it. There's a blemish in the ear, but it's being obstructed by a bunch of hair. Remove the hair so that you can see the blemish. From the Braisa, it seems clear that this is a din lechatchila. Now, Amar Rav Mari, Afanami Tanina. Rav Mari says, read the Mishnah, read our Mishnah again, and I'm telling you, you'll find exactly the same thing in our Mishnah. It's a din lechatchila. Why? Because when you look back at our Mishnah on the previous Amud, you'll see that the Mishnah has two halachas. And the two halachas are linked with the word vechein. And similarly. So, how do you understand that word vechein? Just like in the first case of the Mishnah, it's a din lechatchila, so too in the second case, it's a din lechatchila. And maybe you'll tell me, no, that's not the din lechatchila. You know what the din is? You know what the lechatchila din is of the Mishnah is? Lo yizizenu mimkomo. Remember what we said back in the Mishnah? You remove the tuft of wool, but don't put it down on the side. Keep it dangling and tangle it into the other wool of the animal. Right? Marasayin. Maybe that's the din lechatchila that the Mishnah is trying to show is true in the first case of the Mishnah, as is the second. Ilem shelo yizezenu mem kama hashta mashochet dishchita samuchcha alav lo yizezenu liros makom mum. I'm sorry, lo yizezenu liros makom mum mi baye. Gemara says can be because look, I'm shechting the animal. You really worried about Mar sign over there? Intuitively, there's no need to be. People understand you're about to shech the animal. I remove the hair so I can shech the animal. In that case over there, I can't imagine that there's really a Mar sign issue. People understand what I'm doing. And still the Mishnah says, keep the wool there. Don't put the wool on the side. So in the next case of looking at a mom, I don't even need the Mishnah to tell me lo yizezenu mem kamo. It's understood. There's more of a concern that I should worry about how this is going to be viewed. Because I don't have another action that I'm doing that shows the world what is going on right now. So the v'chein is not going on the halacha of lo yizezenu mem kamo. So it must be that the v'chein is connecting the two regarding the plucking out of the hair. Just like in the reisha, plucking out is a din lechatchila, so too it is in the seifa. Okay? Good discussion we just had. The Mishnah gives a heter of Rav Yosef ben Meshulam that before you shecht your bechor, you can remove the hair from the neck before you do shechita. The Gemara wants to know, can I do the same thing on Yantiv? The answer is yes. It begs an explanation. Especially, it certainly begs an explanation considering the fact that the one who says yes is Rav, and Rav holds the Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Aser. So how can I remove the hair from the front of the neck of the animal? The Gemara tried a bunch of svaras. It seems like the svara that the Gemara landed on is that it's Einu Derech Bekach. It's an unusual manner of hair removal. Especially when you consider that Reish Lakish says that you have to do it with your hand and you cannot do it with an instrument. So now it's unusual manner, so it's like a shinui. And I guess for the purposes of Shechting and Yontev, so the Chachamim waived the usual Issur de Rabbanan by Shinui. But that's my suggestion. I really don't know if that's the correct explanation of the Gemara. And anyway, for us, by the way, the answer gets a little bit easier because we don't pass on like Rav. We hold that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter, so for us, we may not necessarily need the Shinui explanation that the Gemara provided. But somehow you're then going to have to explain how it's not a psik reisha, and I kind of struggled with that. Meaning, how is it not a psik reisha? Okay, one possibility is that's a psik reisha de lo nichalai. Okay, but that takes us to another discussion, which is for another time. Okay, we move on to the next mishnah, sear bechor bal mum. Okay, the hair of a bechor bal mum. Okay, let's start off with pieces of information before we move to the Mishnah. If your Bechor has a blemish on it, so what do? You don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. It belongs to the Kohen. It's property of the Kohens. But once the Kohen has it, so he can shecht it. And he eats it. Now, you can't shear it, and you can't work it. You shecht it. But let me ask you this, though. After you shecht it, the meat, the Kohen's going to shecht it. Right? After you shecht it. So the meat obviously is you're going to eat. What about the rest of the animal? Specifically, what about the wool? What about the wool that was on the animal? Are you allowed to enjoy that? And there's a very clear answer to that question. The answer is yes. Meaning, the Isser in the Torah is that you're not allowed to shear the Bechor, but that's only while it's alive. The Isser of Lo Sagos, much like the Isser of Lo Savod, is only while the animal's alive. After you shecht it, it's not hektesh, it's psule hamukdashin. It has restrictions. But once you shecht it, it's not like the animal now is a...
Once you can eat it...
Correct. Once you shechted it, the animal now is permitted to you, including the parts of the animal that are not edible, i.e. the wool of the animal. So we start the discussion by making it very clear that once you shech the animal, you're allowed to enjoy the wool.
Is this a Kohen doing it?
Yeah. But Kohen can do whatever he wants with it, meaning you have to give the Bechor to him. Right. Bechor Balmum, if the Kohen wants to sell it, he can. If the Kohen wants to be Mekadosh a woman with it, he can. It's his, it's property of his, assuming it has a blemish. If it doesn't have a blemish, then he's got to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it on the Mizbeach. But once that's a blemish, it's his.
Okay.
So, okay. So that's the right place to start the discussion. How about this? Now let's make this a little more complicated. What if I have wool falling off the sheep before I shecht it, and then I shecht the animal? Now what? Meaning the wool on the animal itself, that's fine. But what about the wool that fell off before I shechted it? Is that wool mutter or aser? Min haTorah, I would say, of course it's mutter. I didn't shear it. I didn't violate the aser of lo sagos. And had that wool been connected, it would have been mutter. Now that it's detached, it's aser now? Okay. So follow me now as we go through this Mishnah. The discussion's a little bit complicated, just because simply there's a lot of pratim, a lot of details, but it's good just to start off with the basics. So you had a bechor, it was blemished, and some wool fell off of it. And so what I did is I took the wool and I stuck it into the windowsill for safekeeping. Okay? And then I shecht my bechor. And now I go back to that wool that I tucked under the windowsill. Is that wool mutter? Akavya ben Mahalalel matir. So the opinion of Akavya ben Mahalalel, we don't see him that often in the Mishnayos. Right, you'll see him in Adios a couple of times. So he says that it's mutter. V'chachamim osrim. And the Chachamim say that it is prohibited. Now look at Rashi. I'm going to show you two Rashis. The Rashi back on the first Rashi on the Mishnah, the Rashi says that a kavim mahal it's mutter bahana. So the Kohen can get benefit from this wool. And then the next Rashi, v'chachamim osrim, the ishar yitzemer hanosheres mechayim asi leshehu lebechor kedei shetashir tzemer kol sha'a v'asi b'lidei tekala sheyigzos v'yavbo u'psula amukdushim asir begizah v'avoda kamina b'pirkin d'la'el. So Rashi explains, here's the problem. The problem is that, and this is the explanation of the Chachamim, that wool really is fundamentally okay, right? I didn't shear the animal. It fell off. The wool fell off before I shechted it. And I put it on the windowsill. And I shechted the animal. That wool on the windowsill is fine. But here's the problem. If the Chachamim allow me to enjoy that wool, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep waiting. Because the sheep is shedding its wool and it's shedding its wool. Now, I know I'm not allowed to shear it, but you know what? Indirectly. Right. I'm just going to keep waiting. And as long and the Chachamim do not want that. Meaning we've expressed this idea a number of times in a number of different ways. If something is going to promote me, is going to motivate me to keep the Bechor around, the Chachamim say we don't want that. Because it's just going to lead to problems. You're not allowed to shear the animal. You're not allowed to work the animal. The only thing you're allowed to do is eat the animal. So if there's anything that'll motivate me, that'll prompt me to want to keep the animal around, the Chachamim said, we don't want that. So what the Chachamim say is, you know what? Even though Me'ikr Hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, that wool that fell off the animal should be okay, we're asering that wool.
Even after Shechita.
Even after Shechita?
That's the whole point.
Right. Even after Shechita. Now, machlokas between Akavya ben Mahalalel and the Chachamim, that was version number one of the machlokas. That's the opinion divrei Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda's version of the machlokas. Amar lo Rav Yosi, lo bezehiter, Akavya ben Mahalalel, ela, ser ba'mum shenishar, v'hinich b'chalom, v'achar kach meis. No, the machlokas is when the animal dies on its own, not when you shechted it. Bezeh Akavya ben Mahalalel matir v'chachamim osrim. It's there in that case that there's a machlokas. Okay. Stay tuned because the Gemara is going to give us a better understanding of Rav Yossi's understanding of the machlokas between the two. Semer ha-medulta be-bechor, etch-nira megiza mutter, etch-nira megiza aser. If I have wool that is still hanging on, I know you have flashbacks to chulin and our dangling limb. But here it's a little bit better, it's just dangling wool. The wool's detached, but it's still hanging on. So if it looks like it's part and parcel of the wool after the animal died, so that's fine. If it doesn't look like it was part of the wool, Rashi describes it was kind of like jutting out. So it was clear that this wool was detached. So then that's going to be Aser. Okay. The first thing the Gemara is going to do is just give us better clarity on the opinion of Rav Yossi. We know what Rav Yehuda says. Rav Yehuda says that the machlokus between a kaveh ben mahalal and the chachamim is even when you shech the animal. And Rav Yossi says no. Mechlal da Aser, but it sounds like from the Mishnah that if you shecht it, they're going to, both parties, both a kaveh ben mahalal and the chachamim are going to Aser. But hashta be mei shari shechtu mi baye.
Rav Yossi, if you shecht it, they both matir. Rav Yossi is saying, right?
You're right, but when you read the Mishnah, it doesn't sound that way, which is what the Gemara is going to clarify. Basically, what the Gemara is going to clarify is that you're right, meaning that there, when you shecht it, both parties agree that it's mutter. But the Gemara is, let the Gemara develop this point. Mechlal da asar hashta be mei shari shechtu mi baye. I don't understand. If the animal dies on its own, the wool becomes permitted. You shech the animal, you don't think the wool's going to be permitted? So Allah, so the Gemara says, hachi kamar, right? We're going to insert those words. Hachi kamar, lo bezehi terakavya, v'chachamim osrim, shachru divrei akol shari, ki pligi b'meis. The Gemara says, you know how you don't understand the Mishnah? If you shech your bechor, meaning again, let's go back to what we're talking about. The bechor is a blemished bechor. Wool fell off the bechor, yeah, just naturally, right? What's that called?
Shedding.
Thank you. Right. So it shedded. So some wool fell off
of this
bechor, which has a blemish, and you took the shearings and you put it on your window. Okay. If you shecht your bechor, according to all opinions, that wool becomes mutter, of course, because what was the concern? The whole concern is, we don't want it hanging around. Yeah. But if you're shechting the animal, that's a very good indication you don't want it around. Meaning you shechted it. There's no better indication. I can't think of one that would indicate that I want to eat the meat than me shechting the animal. So according to everybody now, go over to the window and enjoy that wool. Because that wool now becomes mutter. There's no reason for the chachamim to make a gzera in that scenario. However, if the animal died on its own, so there the Chachamim said, you didn't shech the animal happened to have died on its own, that wool now becomes prohibited. Why? Because we don't want people to let that animal linger, and you, by letting the animal die on its own, have proven to us that you were more than happy letting the animal linger. Correct, but you're still not allowed to share. The Isser of Giza applies even after it's blemished. And so what the Chachamim do not want to do is they do not want to promote people to just let the animal linger, so even when they blemish.
The meat is yours. I mean, you don't have to give it to...
Correct, but there's still a prohibition. A mina Torah of Giza va'avoda. You're not allowed to share, you're not allowed to work the animal, even blemished.
When the animal dies, it has to be buried. You can't use it at all.
Animal, that's it, done. It's psula hamukdashin. It is disqualified hektish.
You cannot give it to God.
You can't. First of all, it's a bechor. Bechors are non-redeemable. So yeah, there's nothing left to do.
Can I give it to dogs?
Bechor.
It's an avela. It's an avela, but with had kedushas, it's a psula mukdashim.
The thing is, if the animal dies, that's even a bigger loss to the owner than
whatever. He would not. Right. The shearings are the least of his issues, but there's still that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. Amar Abasi, Amar Eish Lakish. Machlokis b'shihitiro mumcha. The machlokis in our Mishnah is when a mumcha comes along and was matir. The mar savar gazrina del maasi l'shu'uye umar savar lo gazrina. A mumcha, in order for a kohen to enjoy his bechor in the privacy and the comfort of his own home, so there needs to be a blemish on the animal. But that's not enough. You need an expert to come over, and the expert has to look at it and say, that's a real blemish. What do I mean? Real? Meaning it's permanent. A blemish that's going to heal is not a real blemish. That's what's called the mum over. So you, the Kohen, does not have the right nor the ability to make that determination himself, even if he is an expert. We'll learn that later in the Masechta. You need a mumcha. You need an objective expert. Right? Not me. Meaning, like the Gemara said earlier, like, you know, somebody who knows his animals well, and knows the business, he has to come and he has to determine that this is a real mumcha. The whole debate in our Mishnah is when a mumcha was matir. Mar sever gazrina dil masa l'shuyi, mar sever lo gazrina. Ava lo itira mumcha, divrei hakol asar. But if a mumcha did not come along, and a mumcha did not determine the status of the animal, everyone would say that it's asar. Why? Rashi writes, the havale ketam. Because at that point in time, we're treating it like a bechor, like a regular bechor. There, the motivation to keep it around is even greater, because now, as an unblemished animal, there's only one thing you can do with it: bring it on the mizbeach. Right? Certainly, you understand. The Kohen's thinking to himself, why don't we just let it hang around a little bit longer? Right? It'll develop a blemish. And by the way, you can't place a blemish on the animal. Right? Again, a big topic coming up later on in the Masechta.
Is there a time period that you have to give before?
Yes, that's the beginning of the next parak. Fourth parak of Bechoros. We'll talk about that. Nesav Rav Sheshes, Bali Momen Mosrim, Bekol Shehu. The Rav Yossi Omar Yivukar. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Now,
I'm sorry, if that's the case, you have a time limit, so why are we discussing all that? Because nobody's going to be able to...
No. You two issues. One is when the Bechor is born in your flock, so there's a time in terms of when you have to give it to the Kohen. Once you give it to the Kohen, he should bring it to the Beis HaMikdash right away and offer it right away. Okay? But there's no, you know... He can do it whenever he wants, really.
He doesn't have a time limit. The Kohen also has a time limit, no?
He should bring, I mean...
So if both have time limit, there is no concern that it's going to link around to get more...
No, but the Kohen doesn't have an absolute time limit. There's no absolute time restraint.
So
later on, in the beginning of the fourth paragraph, we'll talk about the owner of the animal, right? Not the owner, but, you know, the one who was born in his flock. He's not the owner. Belongs to the Kohen. The braisa reads like this: Bali Momen Mosrim Bekol Shehu. I have a blemished animal, gets mixed up with a bunch of my other animals. Now you're going to ask me the obvious question: if this animal that got mixed in was blemished, so why is it? How is there a tarovis? How is there a mixture over here? You'll find it. Just look for the animal that's blemished. Stay tuned. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But meanwhile, though, the Tanakhama says, I don't care what the mixture is. I don't care how many other animals are mixed together with this animal. Bottom line is, no bittul. How come bittul has been blocked? Don't we say bittul barov? So the simple explanation is, we're talking about balei chayim. We're talking about animals. Animals, you know, the chachamim a number of times blocked bittul. Bittul blockers. So the chachamim did that a number of times. So when we're talking about animals, large creatures, it's a davar chashuv, it's balei chayim, so no bittul. Rav Yossi Omar Yivukarna. Rav Yossi says, do an examination, do an investigation. Now, what's going on here? The Gemara says, v'avinam ba, ma yivukar. What does that mean? Ilem deba mumhu v'lishkalei michlad d'tanakam arlav. Tanakam amar, right, I'm just sorry, I'm looking at the Bach. Right, low kamar. So what's going on right now is if the animal actually has a blemish on it, and yuvukar means do that examination. So what's the issue here? What's going on over here? So the Gemara now is going to offer one, two, three explanations of this brisa. What's the brisa talking about? And Hedy, to your question, why are we talking about this right now? So stay tuned. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua Hacha Begizas Bechor Ba'amum Askinan. We're not talking about the animal, right? I know that's not the simple pshat of the Braisa. It doesn't seem that way in the Braisa. In fact, Rabbi Chia, before introducing his explanation, will look back at Rav Nachman and say, really, you think that's what the Braisa was talking about? But meanwhile, we're learning Rav Nachman right now. So let us, right now, be like Rav Nachman. We're talking about shearings get mixed up one another. Now, shenit arva begizei chulin. So here's what happened. the your bechor shed, and the shearings of that bechor got mixed up with shearings of chulin. Okay. Now, I ask you here, why don't we say bittul? And here, we're going to struggle a little bit with an answer. Because when we were talking about the actual animals themselves, so there you understand bittul blocking. Talking about animals, davar chashuv, balei chayim. Here we're talking about just shearings of the sheep. So why is there no bittul over here? Right, possibly. Right, that's a good suggestion. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld's notes, because it's really difficult to understand why there's no bittul. So he quotes a Ravid. Ravid says, because you could redeem the shearings of the Bechor, and so it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's something which can become permissible.
How do you redeem it?
By simply pointing to that mixture and say, wherever it is, I'm going to transfer the Kedusha to money. Okay? Again, I don't want to get lost in that, just because I do want to finish with Rav Nachman. So, man tanakama Rav Yehudi, damar nishchatu aser, asrei rabbanan, Rav Yossi latami, damar nishchatu sharei rabbanan, v'ktani yivukar. So the Gemara says, ostensibly, you know what this machlokus is? It's the same machlokus we saw in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda says that in a case where it was shechted, the chacham and maser, aser the wool, and Rav Yossi says that in the case where we shechted, the chachamim were matir, the wool. So, ostensibly, that's the machlokus in this brisa. And now, what did Rav Yossi say? Yivukar. What does that mean? B'katani yivukar. Ma yivukar lav imum kavua imum overhu. Aren't we doing an examination to see whether or not the blemish is real or it's just a temporary blemish? And what we're basically saying now is that we're gonna permit the wool, even though it fell off before examination. Reish Lakish, didn't you say? It's like he's on trial. Reish Lakish, didn't you say that the whole machlokus between a kavim and mahalal and the chachamim is only after examination? And now it sounds like the way we're setting up this brisa, it sounds like the machlokus is even prior to examination. Afagav shlo itira mumcha. Amarava lo yivakar, ihitira mumcha in v'ilo lo. So the Gemara says, look, that's not going to really bother Reish Lakish. Maybe the word yivakar over here means, let's check out and see whether or not a mumcha actually examined it prior or not. Maybe that's what the yivakar is coming to suggest. Okay? So the only reason why we brought up this brisa is because we thought this brisa would be a challenge to Reish Lakish. Turns out it's not a challenge to Reish Lakish. Okay, good. We finished the discussion today of Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. You're allowed to shear the neck of the animal. I should say better, pluck out the necks of the animal, the hairs of the neck of the animal before you shecht. Two reasons why that may be. Either because it's Giza is not, Talisha is not Giza, or number two, because it's a Davar Sheino Miskaven. Okay? Can we do this on Yontif before you shecht an animal on Yontif? The answer is yes. The question is why? Big explanation, big discussion in the Gemara. Next thing we turn to is sheddings of a Bechor Balmom. Are those permitted? Machlokis between the Chacham and Makavi ben Mahalal. Machlokis between Rav Yehud and Rav Yossi as to when the Machlokis of Akavi ben Mahalal and the Chachamim exist. And then a further discussion we had today about whether or not this is before or after a mumcha checks out the animal. Reish Lakish says it's only after you had a mumcha check, but before you had a mumcha check, nobody would permit it because we do not want the animal to linger. Okay? Tomorrow we start off two more explanations of the brisa that we just learned, and then we continue with tomorrow's daf. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Please don't forget Sunday, immediately after Maariv, right here in the shul.